Welcome to the Birds FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Declaration of Military Accountability signer Jake Schenck, Special Forces.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, Patriots. Tonight we have Jake Schenck. He's a Special Forces operator that is also a signer of the Declaration of Military Accountability. He's a strong Christian and has a lot of very interesting things to say about what's going on inside the force, but also just about the perspectives of leadership in this day and age. And we know that we're being stressed right now on a lot of levels on this. And we're seeing the destruction of our military, the destruction of our country, and we're seeing it happen on many levels. And unfortunately, it's not stopping. And this is going to be a continued issue for us to have to face as a nation of coming to the true sense of accountability of what we're going to do and literally how we're going to stop this. It's ultimately going to come down to us taking an action locally and having to be active in our local communities to take back what we need to take back, which is our country. They're flooding us with illegal aliens, which, by the way, if I say that now, I'm considered a domestic terrorist, so that's a good deal. And they're continuing to flood everything in our country to try to have a replacement strategy to destroy what America is and make sure that it can never revive. The difference it's going to make are those with the will to stand and those with the will to speak up and those with the will to stand boldly on truth, boldly on our faith, and to walk forward in all of this in such a way that it cannot be denied. You cannot be easy on people anymore. We're long past that point of having to go easy on people. And it's literally a place and time where we have to come to grips with the reality of where we are. Our nation is on the verge of literally being slipped into the pits of the abyss of never coming back. And it's time now for us to take a bold stand. I want to play this short piece here that I've played recently, but it's just, I think it sums up so much of what we all feel.
I'm tired of feeling like a hostage in my own country. I was talking with somebody, really nice guy, and we're talking on the plane, and he's getting excited as he's talking about the missionary work he does. And I remember, like, I even had this almost tinge, like, oh, I wonder if anybody's getting offended by us talking. And then I stopped myself. I'm like, no. He's talking about raising his kids, and he's talking about going out and preaching, and he's talking about speaking hope into people's lives and the sacrifices that they made and where he's come from, because he had gone through a lot to get to that point. He has every right to be excited about what he's talking about. And I got every right to be excited for what he's talking about. And I am tired. I am tired of parents and people in general, free people, what are supposed to be free people, upset because, well, you know, we're not allowed to talk about politics or religion. I don't want to be accused of being a bigot. I get told this by the same people that want to look at me with a huge level of righteous indignation. How dare you want school choice? You must hate poor kids. As if I don't want it for poor kids. And then those same people get up and sit there and justify why there needs to be pornography in a school or why that kid needs to get puberty blockers at 10 years old or why that kid needs to be carved up or that kid needs to be aborted at month 9. And I'm the bad guy? No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Only in clown world is that the bad guy. And the only reason I believe it's been allowed to continue to this degree because there hasn't been enough men in society. Not that I don't want women to stand up too, but there hasn't been enough men in society to stand up and be like, slow your roll. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, this power that they're projecting, where does it come from? I don't see any one of these people that poses a physical threat to me. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
You want to go down that road, I will show you what a bad idea it was. But because of their influence within institutions we've all been taught to respect, that's where the power and authority comes from. It is illusory. And we're going to see how much of an illusion it actually was when men start standing up and going, no, not in my house, not in my community, not in my state, not in my country. You're free to live the way you want. The moment you try to impose that on me, you got something else coming.
100%. That's Nick J. Freitas 3.0 on TikTok, just so you know. Here's the deal. We are lacking that strength in men standing up. And it's a sad statement. I actually was just on the phone with Ted Nugent before the show, and we were talking about this exact thing. The lack of strength of people to speak up and speak the truth. He's under a siege right now with the Game Commission and how he manages his deer on his property. And I'm going to be having him on the show here talking real soon about this situation where they're literally trying to force eradicate his deer for some elusive disease that they can't prove unless they kill all the deer, which is, and every time they do it, they find out it doesn't exist. But this is just a way to try to get again to the key thing, which is their war on meat and their war on food and their war on freedom, which is the whole thing. This is the war of trying to take stripping everything away. And the more that we dig down, we're finding out who the culprits are. We're finding out who the instrument people are behind this, which if you want to get into that, listen to this morning's show. The puppet masters want one thing. They're all Luciferian at the end of the day. They want control of us, and we are the slaves, the goyim. That's who we are. And they see us this way. They see us as third, fourth, fifth class citizens. Nothing more worse than cattle, in fact. And this is what our military is doing. This is what our command structure, our military is sold out to. And this is what they have done to our soldiers. Now, this is yet another great interview tonight with a member of the signatory of the Declaration of Military Accountability. And I am pushing this hard because I want you to see the integrity of these people. And I want this message out here so people can see it and hear it. This message is critical. This is at the center point of how we change this nation and why we have to get behind this, because we need to reclaim the command structure of our military and not let it be in the hands of these fools. These are Satanists. These are elitists. These are people that are doing the most horrific crimes right now. I mean, today, literally, the U.S. Army posts this on Twitter, and it's abhorrent what they wrote. They literally wrote this today. They said, Wednesday wisdom, stay faithful to the U.S. Constitution. Hashtag U.S. Army, unite unit and fellow soldiers, unite and fellow soldiers. Loyalty is about belief and dedication to something or someone. And that's the Constitution, they say. It'd sure be nice if they would follow it. That might be a good start. It might be good if they started by not mandating an illegal vaccination on our soldiers and forcing them to take a death shot that's going to genetically modify them and permanently destroy them. It'd be nice if they would respect religious exemptions, which they don't do, because if they did, we wouldn't have these soldiers who are being pushed out of the military and having to lay everything down. Now, I'm going to tell you the other part of the importance of this military message. We are all in this fight together, and I need to say this. What we've lacked, though, as a public is a deep understanding of what's going on inside the ranks and rank and file of our military, which we love our soldiers that are dedicated to the Constitution and dedicated to the defense of our nation. We have a rather high level of loathing for those traitors that have sold out our country to foreign wars, banksters, and turning our children and our young men and women into shrapnel and cannon fodder for their wars to just impose more power across the globe and keep us in a perpetual cycle of war and money laundering, and that war that continues to prop up the military-industrial complex for the sole purpose of more wars so more people on Wall Street can make more blood money. We're a little bit sick of all that, and rightfully so. But our soldiers have been put through an absolute hell in this last period, and what's different about their situation than in the civilian world, these people are under contract and are being literally bound to being forced to do something or being left with a stain on their career if they choose not to do it. If they are forced out of the military, they're threatened with a general discharge, which is much less. It reduces their ability to get benefits. It eliminates their ability to get benefits, and it stains them for future employment. Some have been threatened with dishonorable discharges, and that means as bad as you can get. I mean, a dishonorable discharge would be somebody who, say, raped somebody. These are people that have chosen to say, I'm taking a religious exemption, I'm not going to take a shot, and they're saying you're going to get a dishonorable discharge. This is what our military has been doing to our soldiers. And this is our taxpayer dollars being used to extort and torture and to force our soldiers to submit to something that they know is unhealthy for them. Special operations soldiers have been threatened with having to repay every dime of their training. The military is out here trying to reclaim costs of training and bonuses. And in the meantime, as we move our nation forward, Doritos has just brought out a new transgender brand representative. I mean, we're just in clown world, absolutely clown world right now. We have the head of space, one of the seniors in Space Force, giving lectures on having to use pronouns because apparently that in the new force of taking care of space is very important that we talk to aliens with our proper pronouns. I mean, this is literally like the invasion of the lizard heads, man, and this is insane. So the DMA at its core is functionally so important because when we get this motion going, and it is going, let me be clear. If you go to this post, which is that U.S. Army, it's U.S. Army at U.S. Army on X, you'll see the wonderful comments, which I'm just hat tip to all those that put them on there, just literally excoriating them for their stupidity. And here's one by Jordan Carr, and I'm hoping to get Jordan on the show. You literally infringe on your members' constitutional rights and have no remorse or accountability for the senior officers, especially who violated their oath and the law. They're traitors. And I'm hot on this. We are dealing with one level is when you have complicit treason within our government as political people. I can't say that I'm surprised because politicians are slime bait anyway. They get into these political places generally because they fail everywhere else in society. And then when they fail, they're like, oh, well, let's get on the public dole so I can do something and make a lot of money by literally like conning deals with special interests and to screw the American public. In the new omnibus bill, that just passed, this is literally the insanity we are dealing with. They just set aside two major things which are worth noting, okay? And this comes from Thomas Massey, okay? Representative Thomas Massey, hidden in this week's omnibus. Lobbyists got $15 million to implement electronic tracking on all cattle in the U.S. That would be a big no. Don't come near my property. And everyone needs to say the same thing. Do not come near my property if you have cattle thinking you're going to electronically tag it. This is big corporate trying to wipe out small ranchers, and that would be a big no. At all costs, big no. But that doesn't just stop there, because that was to fuel the green agenda, obviously, $15 million to help for the green agenda nonsense. But let's not stop there. This is what else they put in there. There's a $1 million earmark in the omnibus bill for an LGBTQ center where people have BDSM sex parties. These people are insane. We are dealing with a sex cult right out of biblical era. This is literally the worshipers of Baal and Moloch that have taken control of our nation, and they have the only way they can identify themselves is what their sexual preference is. There isn't a person I have ever met in this movement of LGBTQ that cannot have a sentence without somewhere in there having to let you know that I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I'm trans. It's like, I could care less. But now that you want to make it public, here's the deal. You're a sinner and you're going to hell. So repent, or I'll just have to hope that you don't have too long a time here and you can go down to the lake of fire and get burned up. Because this is literally what needs to happen. These people are all about grooming kids. And this disaster that's been happening within our country and has been infiltrating every place. And the place we least expected it to happen was within the ranks of our military. And so our military has become an institution that has been damaged by the vax. It's literally the death shot is causing clots, damages, things like this. And cancers, all these things. That's the gift that just keeps on giving as it demoralizes and it physically breaks down the capability of our military as we roll in the freaks that come in and come into the military to get their gender changed at taxpayer expense, because apparently saving a nation, it's more important to worry about your stupid pronouns and whether you're going to get your weenie cut off than whether you're going to fight the enemy. And behind that is coming the new wave of replacement strategy, which are the illegal aliens that they want to flood into our military so that they can flip our military on us and have it be an obedient slave class that they can use the force against the people. Why do you think we have the Second Amendment? Now you're starting to see it in full force and full clarity. It is time for people in America to stand up and be bold and be ruthlessly bold about the truth. That means in churches, when you have things going on that you know are wrong, like supporting Israel's genocide of the Palestinians, call it out. I have no problem praying for the country of Israel, and I have no problem praying for those that are wrapped around this stupid tyranny idea that it's somehow right to exterminate a population. I'll pray for them, and I'll pray that Jesus touches them. But when you're sitting up there and we're getting people that are waving the flag of another country's flag as we genocide out 30,000 people and over 13,000 kids, you got some screw loose in your head if you think that's religiously right. And if you think Jesus would be sitting there going, oh, yeah, it's a good idea. Let me flip some more tables for that one. We have an obligation to speak truth into this world. And if those truths aren't popular, that's too bad. But truth is where we have to be. And blind obedience to things is what's getting us in trouble. Blind obedience to a politician. Blind obedience to the spirit of religion. It is, we are literally walking as representatives of Jesus in this time. And that should mean something to everybody. And that's powerful in what his messages are. So this is literally a moment in time that we need the truth tellers. And what's powerful about those on the DMA is they have all had to put themselves in a position of losing everything. And that's not taking them any better or less than anybody else. But this is the magnitude. These people have come in to serve our nation. They've given their lives to these things, this commitment, and they're having to walk away. Hopefully most of them that we meet here have not been damaged. We have met some that are permanently damaged by this shot, and they're having to literally lay it all down, walk away from their dreams, walk away from what they thought they wanted to do, walk away from their benefits, walk away from their careers, and even take a sacrifice of not even being able to get a job on the outside because the military wants to punish them for not complying. So tonight we get to hear another voice on this group, which is DMA signer Jake Shank, and he is powerful. He is a great voice. He's steady. He's very methodical in what he thinks, how he presents things. He's part of Special Forces. He's been part of some very elite teams, and the guy understands it. He's had 5 deployments, and the minute that he said that he wasn't going to take the vax, a man with 5 deployments and that level of experience of the depth of operations that he was doing, they put him behind a desk. That was his reward. So, before we get going, Patriots, we have some amazing sponsors for this show, and they're all very strategically chosen for this time. One of those that we need to keep our eye on is there to help you with this financial situation we are in. And that is the place where we are looking at the collapse of our economy and the stealing of your 401ks and your IRAs. That's Birch Gold. Just text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. That's BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. These folks are there to help you preserve your wealth. Right now, Wall Street is talking openly about pilfering the 401ks and the IRAs. That is their next strategy. They're looking at this money that sits there. They've already gone through the pensions. If you have pensions, you're just living on air because they've taken that already. They did that starting in 2008. But now the 401ks and the IRAs are their new golden chalice that they can steal. So this is where Birch Gold comes in. You just text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. They will send you a free information packet. Read it. Be informed. Then give them a call. They're there to help you. If you have an existing 401k or IRA, they will transfer that to a one backed in precious metals at no cost to you. And they can help you set one up. They're experts in the field. They've done a great job of servicing BARDS Nation. And they're there to help you in this critical time to preserve that wealth as we're being positioned to go through some sort of great digital reset to force us all into this place of having zero money and all tied to some sort of app and digital ID. These are real, very serious times. So take this seriously. Check out where you are with your finances. Check out where you are with your retirement. Reach out to Birch Gold. They're there to help. So again, text BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, to 989898. You're not going to be disappointed. Okay, with all that said, and a pretty good warm-up, and I guarantee you this pace will be a lot slower in this interview and probably a lot calmer, but this stuff gets me hot because we're in a critical time right now and we're watching just the obliteration of our nation, and we're watching the people on the side literally and the people doing it laughing at us. And it's time that we start laying it down, I mean in a hard way, for them to understand that under no circumstances are they ever going to take this nation. And if they are going to try, it's going to cost them everything. And that I promise. So let me introduce you to Jake Schenck. Well, Patriots, I'm really honored today to have Jake Schenck on. This is another member of the DMA. He is a Sergeant First Class in Special Forces and has been a very involved career in a lot of these areas that are so important to national security. And so he's also finding the same issues as so many of the soldiers are fighting, which is this challenge and stand that it takes and the courage it takes to stand up against an institution that literally wants to punish you for executing your religious right not to take the vax. So with that, Jake, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Doing well, Scott. Nice to be on with you. And obviously, anything I say is my own opinion. Doesn't represent the DoD in any way. But it's great to be here with you.
That's awesome. Well, let's start a little bit with your career. And I know you were giving me a little bit about that before the show, but let's talk about that.
Sure. So basically, my initial motivation to join was largely based on events of 9/11. I was a freshman in high school when that happened. I was very much on my way to, you know, playing football. I got an initial scholarship to play football in college. But, you know, the drive to go serve and to take to task basically those who committed the crimes on 9/11 as I understood them then, that's what I wanted to do. So I went to my recruiter and just said, I want to go fight. I want to go fight these people who, you know, did this to us. And he gave me all the options of what was available. And I was intent on fighting. I said, I just want to go to the front. I want to go fight these people. And he let me know of an 18 X-ray contract, which is basically coming in off the street. You go to basic airborne, you go to the Special Forces prep course on a selection. And if you make it, then you go to the Q course. And I did all of that and made it to, got to 3rd Special Forces Group in 2008. And basically was there ever since through 5 deployments. And obviously that's a very condensed timeline, but that's basically it in short.
So you deployed both to Afghanistan and Iraq?
No, just Afghanistan. Yeah.
And where were you in Afghanistan?
Initially deployed to Tarinkout, Uruzgan, and that was in 2009. And then 2010, I was in Firebase Tice in Deir Ezzor. And this is Deir Ezzor is basically where Mullah Omar, I believe, was born, and before he set up his operations in Kandahar. Basically the birthplace of the Taliban. And then 2012, I was down in Kandahar. And then 2013, 14, I was up in Mezri Sharif. And my last deployment was in Fob Shank in Logar. So basically, you know, a wide variety of operations and experience, you know, spanning much of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of those areas, Camp Brown down in Kandahar. And did you ever get up to Firebase Cobra up in Uruzgan?
I never actually made it up to Cobra, but that was north of Firebase Tice, where I was in 2010. And about, my memory serves, about 80 kilometers north of there. But the teams that operated those fire bases, you know, worked very much in conjunction with each other.
So as a Special Forces operator at this point in time in your career in those deployments, you're pretty much living the dream.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, you know, this is something that I've come to realize is, you know, you go through the Q course, you earn your Green Beret, then you get to your company and you're like, oh my God, I am amongst, you know, giants. I'm amongst men who have, you know, deployed many more times than I have. There's so much more knowledge to be learned, so much more skill to be had, and I know nothing. You don't necessarily realize that up front when you get a bunch of salty team sergeants that'll let you know that and other guys, but it's for your, you know, for your good. And there's a never ending growth process. But yes, once you deploy, that's where you're utilizing your skills, you're doing what you signed up to do. And I'll tell you, Special Forces is always doing it. They're pushing, they're always engaging with the enemy, and finding ways to, you know, find, fix, finish, whatever the goals and objectives are. It's not necessarily always a lethal, but there is an aspect of that. But you're at the front. You are definitely at the front. And I've definitely seen my fair share.
So were you married at this point in time?
I got married the week, essentially not the week, the month before I went to Robin Sage in 2007 in November, or went there in early November and got married in early November and then went straight to Robin Sage the week after I got married. So my wife and I have been together through it all. They're very trying times, difficult times, ups and downs. You know, she's been with me through it all, basically.
What type of trials does that type of deployment put on a marriage?
This is actually a big passion of mine, is helping guys understand and families understand the stresses of deployment or military service in general, but you never know. And I like to use a analogy of, you know, you can read a manual on how to shoot a machine gun, how to operate a radio, but until you do it under fire, you don't know. You just don't know what it is. And the same thing goes for marriage. You have no yet, you know, you have this grandeur of deploying, closing with and engaging the enemy, operating on a team. But you don't know the cost that it takes and the sacrifice when you actually go through that fire and you go through it. And that cost is high and the stress is very high. The spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, relational, often financial burdens that it causes are so great. And, you know, during my first deployment, my wife was pregnant. Luckily I got to come home and be there for the birth, but there's always, often in SF, they say, you know, SF is your mistress, you know, she never leaves you, but she's always there. And it's actually a sick thing that I've actually come to hate. And I don't say that lightly. And I also will say this, that I've learned to put my beret at the foot of the cross, because of that strife and stress and often idolatrous worship of what you do and not who you are. And you think you're going to handle it well, and you know, it's a matter of life. It's a matter of learning by experience and having core principles that drive you. But that was something that was always close to my heart, is I don't want to destroy my family, and I want to try to be there for them when they need me. Obviously, the birth of your kids is a huge deal. And I pushed hard to go be there with my family. And it did start to create, I think, a wedge. You know, I'd be on a team after I did have my kids, and one of my teammates actually said to me, you know, what are you doing buying diapers? You should be out buying sports cars. And I'm like, well, sorry, but that's what I'm doing, bro.
So let's talk about that. bray at the foot of the cross. It's a profound statement, respectful statement. But what is, talk about that a bit.
So I think a lot of guys get a desire, no matter what the desire is, whether it's, you know, God and country or, you know, or even evil intention, like, I, you know, whatever the motivation is and why you're serving, it can become your focus. It can become the thing that you set your mind on, your heart, your body, your spirit, your soul. And for me, I really solely focused on trying to become a better Green Beret. I started to, and a real big motivator was my, BNOC, my BNOC instructor. This guy's name was Dave Hurt.
And what is BNOC, so we can clarify?
Basic Non-Commissioned Officer Course.
Okay.
It was a part of the training in the Q course. And as an X-ray, you're basically saying, I am going to come off the street and I'm going to be able to hang with, you know, seasoned active duty guys who maybe have gone through the 82nd, have gone through the ropes in other ways. And there's always been kind of an, you know, love-hate relationship with 18 X-rays. Because you're saying you're going to basically come in and within 2 years say that you can hang with special forces operators deploying overseas, doing our nation's bidding. And Dave Hurt, he made it abundantly clear how much he hated 18 X-rays. He thought they were trash. You know, all these young guys coming in thinking they can do, you know, good things for God and country. And it stuck with me. I love Dave Hurt. He was a great Christian man. When I tell you he was a mountain of man, he was the epitome of a barrel-chested freedom fighter. And I wanted to prove him wrong. I wanted to show him, like, look, someone like me could come in and bring value to the force. So instead of my focus being necessarily Christ, I'm going to honor Christ with all I do. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to, although I am a Green Beret, like, my services to Jesus, my focus became, I'm going to be a good Green Beret. I'm going to be the best Green Beret I can be. And that focus started to look at other guys like, okay, this guy's a dive guy. I'm not a dive guy. I have to go do that. Like, I don't have this skill. I have to go do that, because one day I might be in the position where they need me to do that. And in a sense, that's a good thing. Like, you want to push yourself and you want to be, you know, able to help your teammates when it matters. But it came to the point where that's what I've solely focused on at a, like, very, you know, deep soul level. And it became my focus. Family started to be put on the back burner. Church started to get put on the back burner in a sense. Not that I necessarily lost my faith or, but I just, being a Green Beret and being a better one became the focus. And trying to focus on who our enemy was, you know, to find, fix, and finish. Like, that, I was just so focused in on that.
Is that a challenge, you think, in normal ways of having to balance your faith and the commitment to service, and especially something as elite as Green Beret?
I think so. I think it goes for anybody, whether you're a Green Beret or a janitor or a school teacher, or, you know, if your focus is anything off of Christ, then you start to, you know, make little kingdoms for yourself, or you start to, you start to wrestle with the ramifications of what you're doing. outside of the way God provides for you and outside the ways that he reconciles things in your soul to him, ways he redeems you. A lot of guys talk about, you know, just got to compartmentalize things. And I think there's only so much of that you can do before it breaks. And it definitely got to that point for me. Back in, after my fifth trip, I got to the point where I was just walking around the battlefield. And I liken it to a football analogy, where it's like a free safety, just, you know, trying to run to the ball or to the fight, and just being careless. And I didn't care if I died or not. Like, I almost wish I got shot, because at least other medical things might have got looked at, like TBIs that I kept on asking for help with. And there was a thing in my training in SOPSI, Special Ops Prep Course, is the mantra of suffer in silence. Never go to sick call. Like, you just suck it up and drive on. And coupling that with my kind of Spock-like mentality was a recipe for disaster, I think.
What does that put us at, it's in terms of the deployment time? Your fifth deployment ends when?
That was September. No, I think January, February of 2016 is when we got back.
So let's fast forward then to this introduction of the vax thing, which starts about the tremors of it begin in 2020, right?
Say that again.
The discussion and movement of the vax, which begins with the mask, begins in 2020, as we start to see the concerns for the fake pandemic and the lockdowns and so forth. So how's this now changing your career and so forth?
So from deployment to 2020, I went through just deep repentance and confession, lots of reconciliation and healing spiritually, mentally, emotionally, from many life things that, you know, we could spend hours talking about that stuff. But basically, I'm a new man in Christ. And beginning to restructure my identity in who God says I am. And in doing so, I was working at Third Special Forces Group, doing spiritual fitness. And in 2020, all the Afghan evac stuff started happening. And I was very heavily involved with that, intimately involved with folks on the ground, identifying U.S. service, or not U.S. servicemen, but Americans on the ground, green card holders, and helping to facilitate the exfiltration of, you know, Americans, green card holders, and partner force through, you know, our vetting processes. That was extremely rewarding and harrowing at the same time. Me and two other Green Berets got out 400 plus Americans, green card holders, and partner force guys, while most of the folks that we were trying to get out that we personally knew didn't get out. So there was that dichotomy there. And in the middle, in about 2 months into this, we got the call, you know, you're going to have to get this vaccine, you know, and you got 2 weeks to basically get it. And I prayed with my wife what our response was going to be. And this is where my spiritual discernment really kicks in. And I liken it, you know, spiritual fitness or spiritual discernment to me in a one-on-one or one, you know, spiritual discernment 101 to me is the fruits of the Spirit. So that's basically love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And the fruit of Satan is to steal, kill, destroy, lie, manipulate, coerce, and deceive. And you start to look at the fruit of how this whole mandate was pushed out. And there was not a lot of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There was a lot of coercion, manipulation. If you don't get this, then this will happen. Like, think about your family, think about your career. And I'm like, look, I've got a few reasons why I'm not going to do this. And I crafted a religious exemption memo, identifying the spiritual first and foremost, you know, my faith in Christ. And there's some numerous lines of effort of argument spiritually. And then there were medical concerns, you know, and the legal concerns with RFRA and how it was being implemented. And then I've got some personal UW concerns, unconventional warfare concerns I have in regards to that. But basically, I submitted my exemption memo. And I got removed from the job that I was working at to go work to do a school's NCO job, basically facilitating the administrative process of getting guys to schools that they want to go to, like Airborne School and Ranger School or whatever it is. Submitted my memo, and I expected, you know, kind of a, I guess, relatively quick answer, but I got nothing. I got a lot of like, oh, it's been submitted. It's up at the next level of command. And this is now months in. And I just keep on getting this answer of, oh, it's been submitted. And all the way to the point of it just being ignored. I never got a approval or denial. It was just ignored. I was ignored. And then I was further isolated and insulated and phased out, just, you know. And I started to speak up a bit internally. I'm like, what's going on? Like, what, you know, what are we doing here? Like, why can't I get an answer? And I've always been able to go to my commanders. There's been times when, like, we've had abrupt mission changes, you know, on the ground. And I'd go and I'd be like, hey, this is, you know, I'm a Special Forces Intel and Operations Sergeant. And when you spend months preparing for a mission and then you get a missions change, all that work, like, you then have to trust someone else on the intel preparation for where your team's now going to. And that's a big deal. Like, and it's a big deal to me because I've had, you know, teammates shot based on very fast-paced operations. I bring up a situation where we had basically 4 hours to prepare for a mission. The last bit of intel that I received was there was a truck-mounted Dishka a mile to the west a year ago. And we were told to go in and secure a district center that insurgent forces were overrunning. And, you know, as a guy preparing my team to go out and trying to give them the best information, like, that, it just wasn't good enough for me. And the weight of responsibility to provide accurate information so guys on the ground can make their decisions on what they need to do to help everybody have a successful mission is an extreme weight to carry. And in that mission, you know, our birds almost touched down to the ground, and the front bird, I was in the second one, and the front bird just gets lit up, PKM fire, AK. The bird got shot over 90 times. My friend got shot through the legs, like, and that hit me hard. So I'm at, you know, fast forward to this scenario. So many people are asking for information to make their informed decisions. And there was just, you could tell the manipulation that supposed leaders were doing to their forces, to their subordinates, and the coercion, like, you won't be able to deploy, you won't be able to do this or that, like, you won't be promoted, think of your family. And the level of trust just tanked, and the faith that your leaders are going to do something for your benefit, not for their benefit. And I literally got told in my face, by a leader, I believe how you do about this, but I have to think about my family and my career. And I just, you know, all level of respect and trust got destroyed.
How extensive was the acceptance of the vax within the force, especially in the special operations realm?
I've now learned, everybody was essentially in large part left to their own decision making. But there was resistance to it, and there was a lot of, I got offered a fake vax, the option to pursue a fake vax card, and I denied that. I didn't want that on my conscience. So there may be that concern amongst the force, but and I am now thankful that there's the possibility that some people saved their bodily lives by not, you know, I personally didn't want to go that route. I chose to do a religious exemption, but for those who didn't do that, and they, I think they were afraid of getting this thing and not, and they pursued an option to not do it. So I would say that there's, when you have leaders saying there's 99% vaccinated, I don't believe that. And then later on, I found out there was, I think over 400 in the special operations community who pursued a religious exemption. Going through it at the time, you don't know that. And I was told not to coordinate with others. So it was very much a individual event, until now. You know, there's so much is coming out. You see teammates say they hate themselves for getting it because it violated their conscience, and now they walk around with a severe moral injury, possibly physical injuries. And I was brought to the position of basically, I think God brought me to the point of putting my bray at the foot of the cross back in 2016 after my fifth trip. And then I chose to do it for myself through this process.
What type of moral or legal dilemma, and probably more legal than anything, does that put people in if they have chosen to pursue a fake vax card?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think in history, I do know there's a German doctor who basically, someone could argue, deceived her patients in giving saline shots instead of a vax, and she got off. She didn't get any legal ramifications for that because she didn't want to violate her conscience. So I don't, you know, I'm not a legal expert by any means. I would think that, I guess, individuals who pursued that, you know, I think they made the right choice not to get vaccinated. Now, could they be held accountable for having false documents? Sure. But at the end of the day, like, they're going to be alive without having received this, I think, toxic product. It's not a vaccine.
So we,
as far as I understand, vaccines to go.
Correct. So we are now looking at I think from the standpoint of the force, as much as you can speak to it, there is a measure of compromise of the force with this. And part of that compromise is both moral injury, and it's equally the leadership trust that you've already laid out. Talk about that ramifications.
The the leadership trust
and the moral injury, because they go hand in hand.
I personally am at a, and as a private man, at the place of basic conscientious objection, I do not trust what we're doing. There's been zero good faith communications to myself. It's a very difficult place to be. I personally am going to act in faith, in my faith in Christ, and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and what he wants me to do. Avenues of requesting, you know, it's a very odd time. So on the one hand, I submitted through the processes that were told to me, a religious exemption, and I got no response. I was ignored. So why, like, what makes me believe that other processes are going to be carried out in a true, right, just, faithful process? I don't. And it's very difficult. It's almost an antitrust environment. So now I have to go and verify that systems and processes are going to work properly. And in large part, I don't believe they are.
You mentioned you had some concerns of UW. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think anyone can research for themselves historical events in regards to unconventional warfare and do your own analysis, do your own study on what unconventional warfare is, what information warfare is, and ask yourself questions on, am I being told the truth? Am I being, you know, unconventional warfare is basically warfare that is non-traditional military activities, you know, force on force. I have my flag against the enemy who has his flag, and, you know, very, very open and quote unquote honest warfare, above, you know, people know what's going on. I would say to just do your own research for the listener out there. Look up historical examples of unconventional warfare. Many times, you know, nations would cut off water supplies, do biological warfare, you know. And I would just ask God. Here's where it comes down to. I'm not going to tell you anything, but I would say, because you need to, every listener needs to come to the point of asking the Holy Spirit, what's going on? What do I need to do from here? I know for me, I'm at a place of basically conscientious objection. Like I don't, the level of how I would commit myself to the mission before is gone. I'm basically at the point of retiring anyway, so maybe it doesn't make much of a big deal in the overall, but I just don't have that faith anymore that we're doing things righteously. And I think there's many biblical examples of that leaders and subordinates should look into about what happens when individuals in the camp sin, and what happens when leaders sin, and what happens to the nation, what happens in regards to warfare when you go out against an enemy and you're not doing it righteously. And I would ask ourselves, what is the fruit of what we're doing? Do we have victory? Do we have success? Do we have peace? And I would urge the listener to ask Holy Spirit, am I a part of the problem? Do I have sin in my own camp? Is there something I need to repent and confess of? And this goes along with the, you know, I do this on a daily basis too. Like, I believe that wrongs were done, and I believe there needs to be accountability. I believe there needs to be justice, but vengeance is the Lord's, and I need to speak truth in the fruit of the Spirit. Because God's heart is that all would be redeemed, that hearts would be turned to Him. And, you know, I'm grieved. I'm in sorrow most of the time because our nation is suffering. And I think if it weren't for God's mercy and grace, we would have been destroyed completely.
Let's move forward then to the DMA, Declaration of Military Accountability. You signed on to that. Talk about what that is for you and what that means.
For me, you know, the DMA is a promise to pursue accountability. And this is why I just talked about God's heart. And I, after being ignored, it just felt the next right thing to do. I prayed with it with my wife, and we read through it. And I think it's a step forward in the healing process. Like, it's a more, you know, okay, leaders, you ignored me. You didn't engage at all with me. I was essentially ignored and isolated and insulated. My concerns were ignored to the point where, you know, there's very gray ways to injure a person, to damage their career, make them, you know, person non grata. And that was done to me. And the DMA is a way for me to be like, look, I implore you to consider that you have done something wrong and that you need to listen. And my hope is that people will ask God whether that's true for them or not, that they repent and confess and turn. And the things that come to mind are when God wrote on the wall of to the Persian king, many, many tekel upharsin. That rests in my spirit so much that you've been weighed and found wanting. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And so many, you know, supposed leaders, that's true for you. And I would say that the Lord rebuke you, that you need to heed the words of the DMA and turn and do what is right. And it's like Moses, you know, Moses went to Pharaoh, so just let my people go. Stop doing this. Let us go worship God. Let us go be who God created us to be. And they didn't. And Pharaoh pursued them and kept on going after them, much like many in this nation are suffering the pursuit of supposed leaders going after them. And I would just say this, let my people go. Stop doing what you're doing and consider your ways. Because like Abel, the blood will cry out to God's ears and He will intervene. And there's been many in this nation who have prayed, sought God's face, confess of their own personal sins. They're seeking God to heal this nation, and I believe God will. But I think people are in the valley of decision right now, and each individual has a choice whether to get on God's side or not. And there are great ramifications for both, both good and bad. I'm not in control of that. I'm not in control of what leaders choose to do or subordinates choose to do. I'm at the place of, I've made my personal decision. I know who I am in God, and I'm ready to leave my bread at the foot of the cross. To include my career,
which
I will follow Jesus. I will lead my family in following Christ.
And that's laying it all down, quite frankly. That's powerful. Right now, when you look at the DMA and you look at the promise of the DMA to deliver accountability, how do you see that unfolding?
I think they're very clear. One, it's going to be legal. It's going to be moral. It's going to be ethical. It's not out of any sort of anger, malice, or anything else. It's an accounting. It's just, you know, you did this wrong. You made this wrong choice. You forced other people out. It's not legal. There's legal ramifications for it. So if, you know, any of these folks who force this upon others, if something was forced upon them, they would want legal ramifications. They would want justice for themselves. So it's just, I think every, you know, DMA signer and supporter must be humble and continue to pursue, seek God's face, seek his guidance and direction, learn what the law is, learn how to argue and communicate what that law is to the individual who, you know, allegedly hurt you. I, for one, do that out of the spirit of, you know, redemption. Like, I don't want our nation to continue to go down the path that it's going. It's suffering. It's being destroyed. And I want redemption. I want healing. I want renewal. I want revival. And I want reformation in this country. That comes through a process of personal revelation of sin, that you've done something wrong. You need to confess to that. That's not a bad thing. It's a realization, like, I'm not in the right. I need to get right. And I think there's a time for that. And that's what the DMA is. It's a call. Like, you're going to be held to account. Like, just, you need to change this direction. And it's everybody. Everybody needs to change the direction. Like, it's beyond obvious that these things are killing people. I'm talking about the vax shots. We need to have healing for the moral injuries. And part of that is, like, if you do something wrong to someone else, you apologize for it. You make those efforts to make it right. And that hasn't happened yet. So, like an injury, you know, if I get a rock in my boot on a ruck march and I just keep on rucking, it's going to cause more problems until I address it. And they're not addressing it, as far as we can see. It's continuing to be ignored. And the demand signal for healing, for accountability, is just going to continue to increase. And if it doesn't, if people don't support this, and they accept if they accept that this can just happen, who's to say that they're not going to come for you next? If individuals do not challenge illegal orders in a rightful way, and subordinates agree to conduct illegal activity, and they're doing it internal to the military, who's to say they won't do it external to the military, to the civilian population? I think that's a question everybody should ask themselves. So why would you support the DMA? Because we're identifying ways in which leaders illegally forced an alleged EUA product, which there's an argument that the product that they forced was not what they said was the identified product, and they pushed something else on the force. So now we're into deception. So there needs to be a reckoning, and there needs to be a coming to grips with what was done. And if the people of this nation don't do this, if they don't bring accountability, then that cancer just keeps growing, and then it comes to you yourself. And I think that's the reason why there needs to be support from we the people for the DMA. And I think for a long time, the military has just been left to itself without proper accountability and oversight.
I think that's well said right there. I think that's a lot of this too, is trying to get things back to the will of the people. So as we kind of close this down, and you're looking at fellow soldiers now that are around you, some of them have chosen to take the vax, some of them have chosen to take the path of a fake vax card. You chose the moral and righteous path to just say no and do so openly. In order to have integrity back in the force, we have to get people back on that moral integral line. Otherwise, we're just fooling ourselves. What would you say if you're sitting in front of your team and you have that mix before you? You're now the team sergeant. What are you going to say to them in this position they're in and the need to reset to a moral and integrous unit?
I would say our nation needs the strongest, fittest, most lethal force, and you are it. You have the most skill and ability. This goes for, I want to make a call to every special operator out there, every agency person, no matter what agency you work with, you handle the most intricate, lethal, sophisticated tools our nation has to offer. You will have an account one day for those things. Whether you believe in God or not, you're going to account for every word you say, every deed that you do. There's time now to come before Jesus and repent and confess of the wrongs you've done with those skills, those lethal skills, sophisticated tools, your intelligence, and ask yourself, God, am I doing this in truth, in righteousness, and justice? Am I doing this for the benefit of we the people? If you're not, whether in this life or the next, you will be held accountable. Are you committing crimes and sins against your fellow teammates? Are you using those lethal skills, those intelligence assets, those sophisticated tools to violate the Bill of Rights, the rights of the people of this nation? If you are, you must repent, and the Lord rebuke you for doing it. If you know you're doing it. If you don't know you're doing it, ask God to reveal that to you. But I'll tell you this, I'm at a place of basic conscientious objection of what we're doing, and we need revival and we need reformation. We need to do things right, and we need to do them just. And I just implore you, it's my prayer now, that God would open your eyes to see, your ears to hear, and that the veil from your heart and your mind would be removed, so that you can have an account, a true account of your actions, and that you do so, that you seek an account of your life and ask God to help you do the next right thing for the good of If it's just for your team, your teammates, do that. Do the next right thing, not according to what social justice says or what the whims of today are, but there is a, you know, there is moral absolutes, much like there are scientific truths. If I walk off the top of a building, I will fall. I will get injured because gravity takes effect. There are some spiritual truths, moral absolutes that we're violating. And if you continue to violate those, you continue to destroy yourself. You destroy your team. You are a fraud, a waste, an abuse to the nation's assets and to the benefit of we the people. And I just plead the blood of Jesus over you that you choose to do the right thing.
Good words. Solid. And that's right to the heart of it all. Because at the end of the day, I think we can both agree this is a spiritual war at the core of it. Would you agree?
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, Jake, we always close with a prayer. And with, if it's okay, I'll lead a prayer.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this conversation we had with Jake Shank and all the courage he's had to, in uniform, stand up and say no to something that just not only is difficult, but it's required him to lay down and lay it all down before you, his career, his family, everything, in order to walk that moral and righteous line that is difficult, but the right thing to do. So just thank you for his leadership. We bless him for all he does and just pray a blessing over his family for all the resources and support that they continue to need as he walks this line of holding to truth and to righteousness and in the moral law in which you place before us. So ask for your blessings and guidance in all things. We say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So is there any website or anything you want people to be pointed to?
I would highly suggest everybody go to militaryaccountability.net. Read the Declaration of Military Accountability. If you agree, there's an option to sign, and that'll be your decision to make, to sign the pledge to support those who signed the DMA. Then if not, just be in prayer for this whole process.
Nothing like prayers, is there? Well, Jay, go ahead and thank you for your time today. It was awesome. And just really hat tip to you. And just let us know if you need prayers or anything like that to support. We're happy to be there for you.
Awesome. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you, man.
You too.
Well, Patriots, that was Jake Shank, Special Forces operator, and a good voice. He's got a very strong moral position on all of this and articulates it extremely well into the challenges we face, not only in our military, but in the greater leadership of our nation. This is a very critical time, and it gets to the core of what we've talked about so much here, is that we're not going to change anything until we shift the moral foundation of this nation. And ultimately, that's bringing us back to the point of where our founding fathers intended, which is all rights are given to us by our Creator, and we are literally subordinate to that. So we are subordinate to our Creator, and government is subordinate to us. And when we get that position back into our way of being, to understand that we have to quit looking up to leaders, and the only thing we look up to is God, and that leaders are not now being chosen to execute the laws of the land and execute our will, not their own, then we start to get back to the true sense of the Republic. Well, Patriots, tomorrow night we're going to have another DMA member on, and I think you'll be very impressed by him as well. Yet another powerful Christian voice and someone who's running for office in the state of Arizona as well. So, Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest depths.
before.